Hello, everybody. Let's get started with Matt Kawahara.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for doing this. I guess, first of all, for Billy and David, now that it's kind of official, for your thoughts on having Bob for another year managing it, and what made this the right time to make it official?
Well, I'll go first. Well, I mean, listen, I don't think there was any doubt about the conclusion of this option. It was just a matter of sort of getting it together and just finally making the decision. As Bob had spoken during the first work week in the season, you know, we saw, me and Bob, I talked about it right after the conversation he had with you guys. And we just, again, weren't in a huge hurry. I don't think Bob was, neither were we. And when we kind of got a chance to sit down, this seemed like the right time. So, you know, with a guy like Bob, as much as he's accomplished, it's always a day late because his accomplishments far exceed everything else. So had we done it any earlier, it still would have been probably later than it should have been.
Hey, congratulations, Bob, and hello to everybody else. Yeah, same question, more or less the same question that Matt just made. You know, doing this at this time, you know, most organizations, not only baseball, might wait until the end of a season. You guys do it with 4 months to go. Any special reason why the timing of now? For Billy or David?
Yeah, you know, he said, Bob, I think the relationship is such that, you know, listen, as much as anything, you know, Bob's, you know, we sometimes have to bring it up with Bob. And so nobody was in any hurry, mainly because, again, we weren't concerned about the outcome. As you said, a lot of people will wait till the end of the year. But this one, again, we could have exercised this probably at any point during Bob's, during the course of this contract. We could have done this a year ago and it would have seemed like the right time, to be totally honest with you. But so it doesn't make sense with a guy like Bob to wait till the end of the year to create any sort of doubt about what was going to happen. And, you know, you guys know this is your job. The longer you wait on these things, sometimes speculation, unwarranted speculation, sometimes becomes part of the story. And that certainly was not going to be the case here.
Yeah, and that same token of ideas, did it cross your mind, David and Bob, that possible, why not give it more than 1 year, that give it maybe a 2 or 3 year contract right now?
You asking me?
No, well, we'll actually, we'll bore you with our questions later, but for Billy and David, you know, you guys get the thought for a second that probably could have been a good time for maybe 2 or 3 years.
Well, I think Bob had addressed that a little bit, you know, sometime during the day, as he's kind of bumping into you guys during the day, but listen, none of us here are, you know, I think none of us here are under long-term deals anyways. But as far as Bob's situation, again, given the relationship between myself and Bob and the organization, you know, that's something we'll talk about at the end of the year. And again, both Bob's at the point in his career where, you know, that's always going to be part of the conversation when he's nearing the end of the deal. But again, first order of business was to pick up the option. Anything beyond that will probably come in conversation during the offseason.
Martin Gallegos.
Hey, I guess this could be for Billy or David. Just how would you kind of describe Bob's tenure at this point and just the fit that he's been able to, you know, have here over the years, and this kind of the special relationship that he's had both with the players and the front office?
Well, I'll let both of us answer that one, myself and David, since we've both been here during Bob's entire tenure. Listen, as evidenced by the record he broke just recently. I mean, Bob arguably has been, you know, probably the most successful manager we've had here, especially when you consider the challenges that he's had. He's had a team that's turned over multiple times since he's been here. He has one of the lower payrolls from a managerial standpoint to deal with, from a, you know, professional and a personal relationship. I think the sort of tenure speaks for itself. I don't think you can work in this business with this kind of intensity on a day-to-day level without genuinely having an affection, not only professionally, but also personally for each other, because we do have to deal with each other. And 10 years is a long time. And we're not, none of us, at least myself and David and obviously Bob now, we're not ready for that to end. I mean, we still enjoy each other's company, and we, I think, still have a lot of respect for each other. So it's been a pretty successful partnership and one that's going to keep going. David, I'll let you add as well.
Yeah, I obviously will echo everything Billy said, but I will say, you know, the success on the field speaks for itself. Obviously, you know, we've accomplished a lot in Bob's 10 plus years here. I think what stands out the most for me, Martin, about this is Bob's ability to adjust and change and be flexible with the teams that he's had. I mean, we've had different groups here. The 12 through 14 group was a lot different than this group that's been here the last 3+ years. And as much as anyone I've ever been around, Bob has had the ability to change the way he does the job to fit the group that's around him. And I think that's why the players, that's why his coaching staff have enjoyed being with him as much, because he has changed to them. And it's really, it's, you know, it's showed in the success in the number of wins on the field.
Hey guys, this is for both Billy and David, and I kind of want to make Bob blush a little bit, but Billy, we can start with you. Numbers aside, if you ask anyone in the league, current, former players, a lot of times they don't even mention Bob's numbers. It's about who he is as a person. So how would y'all define Bob as a person?
Listen, in today's, Bob, one of the things, managing players is probably the most important skill a person in Bob's position can have. Managing that and managing, you know, the press and the media and you and all the people on this phone call, yourself as well, Jess, is knows better than anybody how easy to get along, but also he's also very honest too. I mean, listen, everyone can sort of say things that makes people happy for the comfort of the moment. But I think Bob has the ability to, you know, come across as not only an honest guy, but a great guy as well. And again, that's the art of being successful in that position in today's world. Again, whether you be a manager on a Major League Baseball team, NFL coach, that's the real secret. But nobody does it better than Bob, which is why you hear not just about players on our team, but around the league. I mean, Bob's been here for a long time, but he's universally well-respected and well-liked through the league, not just by players, but by his peers as well. So, you know, again, you know, in this job, one thing David and I in the organization, you know, this guy, and I say this guy being Bob, he happens to be on the call too, is that he puts in a day's work just as hard today, in fact, as he did the first day he showed up here. I mean, we, the Oakland A's fans and the players and the staff, they get their money's worth, you know? So if you're, you know, we picked up his option and nobody's going to put in a day's work like Bob Melvin. He really does. And there's something to be said about that. Listen, and you talked about the length of his contract going forward. I mean, Bob's at the point in his career how David and I and the organization felt, it was out of how Bob felt at this point in his career. And but we're really, really lucky, and he's an incredibly well respected. It's going to be a sad day for everybody in this organization, that's for sure.
But Bob, you didn't realize you were invited to a roast today, did you?
No, yeah, at some point.
Think a guy younger than me would take himself off mute, huh?
No, I just, you know, Jess, you asked the question. I mean, it's right sort of in the title, manager. And you know, Billy mentioned managing the players, managing media. He also gets to manage me and Billy. And he has all these relationships to sort of juggle. You know, I should mention Dan Feinstein too, ownership. Like, you know, he's sort of the one guy who has to go both ways and does a great job of it. And again, in the sort of tenure of our relationship, has we've all sort of adjusted to each other and learned and made this a relationship that's been able to last as long as it has.
Go to Vince Catronio.
Billy, this is for you. If you could go back to whether you scribbled down three pieces of names on a piece of paper when you ultimately picked Bob back in 2011 and made him the interim, Bob said after the first game, I'm not really sure if this is the right place. And is this, of all the acquisitions and trades you've made, in your tenure. Is this the best move you've ever made working for the Athletics with Bob?
Now you're on mute, Billy.
Hey, can you guys hear me all right? Because I'm having trouble with the audio. So I think I heard Vinny correctly about the best acquisition. I mean, geez. I'd like to think there's been a lot of them in terms of personnel, but certainly Bob ranks right up there, as does hiring the other guy in this phone call and David Force. So that's like asking, that's sort of Sophie's choice a little bit there, Vinny. But obviously, yeah, I mean, again, it's been one of the best moves this organization. I say this because it wasn't just me, it was David and I and, the other people in the organization. So it was no doubt he's had, an amazing impact and one that's, quite frankly, he's got a legacy here. You know, it's one thing to come work and be successful for a few years, but to create the legacy Bob has is, again, it's a credit to him. And I guess David and I and the rest of the staff will take credit for identifying him.
Melissa Locker.
This one's for Bob. I know that obviously it's during the season, you're laser focused on, what's going on with the team right now, but have you had a chance with, breaking the record and then now this extension, to take any time to sort of reflect on where you stand in the history of the organization? I mean, I think it's pretty easy to look at the list of managers that have come before you, and there's some pretty impressive names, but to be sort of a guy who's been here for a decade and to have this sort of winning, what does that mean, especially coming from this area as you are?
Yeah, I maybe more at the end of the year. I have reflected a little bit on it here, just getting everything out of the way in a week here, basically, so we don't have to go through this again. But, what really is easy about this job for me is David and Billy take so much off my plate that all I have to do is worry about the players here and managing the game and the players. So, all the moves and so forth that they make, I can't take credit for those. Those are done by these guys and the analytic, the group above me. So the great thing about this job is I know where my lane is and it's easy to stay in it and it's easy to prepare that way. As far as the legacy goes, I mean, those are some names that, they've managed here that if you try to sit down and think about it, it would be a little bit surreal at this point in time to think about. So maybe at the end of the season. I mean, I know Tony La Russa really well, and I don't even consider myself in the same ballpark as a guy like Tony La Russa. So it's humbling. It certainly means that I've had some longevity here, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my bosses having faith in me, and I'm thankful for the players we have here. So, as much as it's kind of about me right now, it's about everybody else here that allows me to remain here as long as I have.
Alex Coffey.
Hey guys, this one's either for Billy or David. Kind of going off of Vince's question, when Bob was first brought into the organization in 2011, did either of you anticipate the degree of longevity that he's achieved with the A's so far?
Well, Alex, I think both Dave and I, again, can, answer that in our own words. With 10 years, maybe we did. Yeah, I think that's maybe why the choice. So, it's funny. I will be totally candid here. Bob and I, early in his career, managerial career, when he was in Seattle and stuff, we would chat. We're from the same generation. And so the idea that he would ultimately, both he and I would be matched up professionally was not a surprise. Because whenever, he'd come into town, I think there was a little bit of a mutual admiration going on between both of us. So when we decided to make the change, he was kind of the guy. I mean, it was, and we used the term interim so that we didn't commit and everything like that. But I think I personally had a feeling that this was going to be a great match. It's 10 years, 11, I don't know. I didn't really think of it in those terms, but I really, really felt like even though the term interim was placed on him, I did think that Bob Melvin was going to be a great match for myself, a great match for the A's, and a great match because, listen, in this business, the working relationship between the general manager and the, you know, and myself, David, you know, in our roles and the manager, it's critical. You can both be very competent in your positions and the relationship just doesn't work. Or if it does, it's a very short period of time. So I think, again, under the stresses that this job creates, the fact that, you know, Bob's been here and we've worked together this successfully this long, I think is a, you know, it's a testament to everybody, to be honest with you, not just Bob, but also David and the entire staff, because it's not easy to do. So I guess the short answer is, Alex, I thought it was going to work for a long term, 10 years. I think, I don't know if I could have predicted that, but I didn't know if I predicted I'd be here for 10 years, you know, and be successful. Because listen, in this job, you're expected to win. And it's not easy in this marketplace. Again, that's another testament to what Bob's done here. David, I don't even want to add yourself.
Yeah, I
mean, one quick follow-up for Billy. You mentioned he was a great match. Obviously, you know him a lot better now than you did then. Like, what initial qualities of his gave you the sense that he was going to be a good fit for this?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's hard to put my finger on, Alex, but I think it goes a little bit to the relationship between the front office. And I just felt like from myself, you know, we sort of came from a very similar background. Again, we played during the same time. I thought Bob was of the guys that he was, you know, his peer group. I thought he was really a progressive guy. Even his post-career and his interest were things that I thought would match up with, potentially with a guy that was going to be analytically driven. You know, he's learned a lot. You know, we've learned from each other. And again, I just thought that, as much as anything, the personal match, I think, was very important and was critical here. And then ultimately, Bob's just a very bright, a guy who wants to learn. And again, just it was, I hate to use the word gut feel, because I don't try to make too many gut feel decisions around here. But with Bob, I think it was a gut feel that turned out to be correct.
I was just going to add, you know, my perspective was different from Billy's in that I think the first time Bob and I spoke was the night before he arrived in Chicago to take over the team. So we didn't have that history, but I knew what we were looking for in that there was a lot of chaos around the team at that time and had been for a while. And as soon as Bob arrived, that kind of all went away. And we had been, you know, we'd been coming off a situation where, we just had a couple short-term managers, and I think we were both Billy and I, looking for something that was more stable and long-term. You know, there's so much in this organization that is stable, that you look around at the employees, the long-term people in baseball operations, from Billy on down to farm director and scouting director, and I think whether we said it out loud or not, we were looking for that same situation in the manager's role. And I appreciated right away how Bob's presence sort of stabilized that role that had been a little chaotic up until then.
Thanks, guys.
We'll wrap this up soon. We'll take a few more. We'll start with Shayna Rubin.
Hey, guys. Giving Billy and David a break. As for Bob, just given the trajectory that the team is on, how does it feel to have next year locked in as a manager, and not to put you on the spot, but what is your take on any possible extension?
You know what? It's every time, I've never had to bring my contract up. The only time it was brought up kind of publicly was this year when David was asked a question. And therefore, if that didn't happen, we just do it at the time we felt like doing it. I mean, literally my conversations with Billy on every extension I've had here has been literally 5 minutes, and then go back to ownership and it's done right after that. So that's how easy and seamless it's been here. So I forgot what the question was. What was the question again? Am I off base here?
No, that's a good answer. But the other part of it was about next, just being locked in for next year.
Yeah. I'm not concerned about it. And I'm just glad that this is the first time it would have been gotten to the end of the year and there wasn't anything there. So the fact that there is next year, I have no concerns about what's going on further. It'll take care of itself going forward.
John Shea.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Thanks for this. And David touched on this, but Billy, how do you think Bob has evolved as the game has evolved, adjusting with how the game has changed? I once asked Bob if he's old school or new school. And he said both. He's new school because Oakland's so far advanced in analytics, and old school because he's old. And I can say that. But seriously, how has Bob adjusted as the game has adjusted? Because not everyone can or does.
Actually, that's a pretty good assessment, John, to be honest with you. And in some sense, I'd almost verbatim repeat the thing. You know, listen, old school shouldn't be associated with bad things either, because what Bob brings a real human touch in a world that's very much driven by data. And so Bob's, I even hate to say the word evolved, because it makes it sound like he didn't come here with any sort of background, which he did. But Bob's just kept up, and he's stayed in step. Listen, even David and I will admit, and with Bob, we got some of these guys and young women and young men, you know, between Samantha and Pike, who are a lot smarter than all of us. And so it's a challenge for all of us to keep up. And you know, John, now working over there too, and we had some little intern, or not a little first year, first job, Farhan came over here with his PhD. So keeping up is challenging for all of us. And the world of baseball has itself evolved quickly. And Bob's, again, he came over here somewhat versed anyways, and has stayed lock and step with both Dave and I, because it's been learned, you know, both of us have had to stay up too. It's not just Bob staying up, John, trust me. Some of the stuff that we get from these really smart young men and women today is just absolutely incredible. And it's a challenge for all of us.
Can I pivot to another subject, or are we all about this?
Well, it depends what it is, John.
No, I was just gonna ask how Billy the A's would approach, you know, dealing with the new policing, you know, MLB and the umpires' suspensions for illegally, substance by pitchers. Well,
like any rule, I think we're pretty much adhere to it. And I say police, and that's not necessarily a job, but you know, certainly we are well aware of the rules of baseball, and we'll move forward in enforcing the rules, or at least in informing of our guys and making sure they understand the penalties that are going to come if in fact they do break the rules, you know, whether it be with substances or anything else. So we're like everybody else, and again I think it'll ultimately be good for everybody if we rid any doubt from the game, quite frankly.
Thank you.
We'll take two more. We'll go with Jamie McCauley next.
Hi, Bob. Over the years here in Oakland, how have you grown and learned how to manage all the moving parts and changes that happen here, whether it's been injuries or just taking chances on young players and that philosophy of changing up the roster and lineup? It's constantly moving, and you've seemed to handle all of that so beautifully over time.
You know, it really hasn't been that hard, because between Billy and David and I, they always communicate to me ahead of time what the next thing will look like, what the next wave will look like. Are we making changes this year? Where we're making changes this year? And so I kind of know before it actually happens, and it's easy for me to acclimate. So on top of that, we brought in terrific people here almost across the board since the time that I've been here, as far as the players goes. So it's easy to communicate with these guys. And, you know, a lot of them are best players, you know, as you see here now, have come from our system, and they know how we do things. And we've had them in spring training before they get there and they know what to expect. So, you know, it's the communication that happens before that allows me to do my job, you know, pretty easily here, even with quite a bit of turnover.
And Bob, if it was just a 5-minute conversation with Billy, do you even employ an agent?
I don't. I never have here.
I didn't think so. Okay.
I did before. And 5 minutes is probably on the long end of it. It really is. I mean, it's more like a 2-minute thing, and then we talk about something else and we're on our way. It really is that easy.
And this happened where? In your office, or?
It's happened several times. Usually Billy likes to do it the nuts and bolts of it in person. And so there's no kind of, you know, in between. And like I said, it gets done the next day. It's done. We have a conversation. It's done the next day.
Thank you.
We'll finish up with Ken Korak.
Thanks for doing this, you guys. And I guess for Billy and David, And just to follow up on Bob and his ability to work so well with the media, and I think going beyond that, in this day and age of Zoom, and Bob's out there every day, or pretty much every day with the press. And I was struck by this, especially this last week, with questions that he got about ALS Awareness Day and questions about Pride Night. And the way that he represents the ball club in the community and kind of speaks for the club in a lot of ways because of that. How does that factor into how you feel about Bob and the job that he's done?
Yeah, no, I think you bring up, listen, what I was thinking too is Bob was, you know, the one thing about this job, you know, when you're David and I's position, one thing with Bob, you can go to bed knowing that whatever he says, you're going to wake up in the morning and it's always going to be the perfect thing. And it's almost consistent. And that's a real sense of comfort. I mean, in some sense, Bob is the representative to the organization on a daily basis. And honestly, nobody does it better. I mean, and we sleep at night. I mean, knowing that, hey, when we wake up in the morning, that he's always said the right thing and he has the perfect tone, the perfect pitch, no matter what the situation. And it's a skill, it's an art, and it's also a testament to the type of person he is, because I think it's genuine. I enjoyed reading the article this weekend, you know, with Lexi, his daughter. It was great to see Lexi get quoted, and Bob's, it's just perfect. And it's genuine. And again, it's one of the skills he brings to the position that's really, really important these days. And we don't take it for granted. We really don't. I mean, I've been in this game a long time, and there's times when I've woken up when I've had employees or, you know, people that said things that I've cringed. And just, I don't think it's ever happened one time with Bob. He is, as you say, Kent, he's an amazing, between being a great manager, he's also an amazing representative of the organization and the community, quite frankly, because he's a member of the community and always has been. And again, you know, when you speak about the option not to segue somewhere else, is that, listen, if this option wasn't picked up by the Oakland A's, there'd be a line about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 deep that would love to have the conversation with Bob Melvin. I'll say it. Bob will never say it, but that's how much he's respected around the game. I know, because I talk to my peers and they have that respect. So if we don't pick up this option, and you know, there's plenty of people who would love to have that opportunity. That's how much people think of Bob in this game.
All right, we're all done. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Thanks, Mark.